And too often we'll view that as a kid's story. But the truth is, it's a vital story for us to understand God's working, God's grace, His mercy, but also His holiness and His wrath. So we've been calling this, it's only the second week of this, but it's called the Reset. And last week when we started, we saw three things starting up this story. We saw that there was a problem. The man had become very wicked, and the world was full of perversion and oppression. Sound very familiar? We saw God's view that He was broken over this, and that Clint just about busted his head. Can't believe his wife is laughing about that, but we'll pray for her. But we saw that God's heart was broken over the wickedness of man, because man chose darkness rather than light, because creation was not fulfilling its purpose, and God knew He's got to destroy this creation and do a reset. We saw God's grace as He introduced a man of righteousness, a man that wanted to honor God and lived a life of faith and obedience, a man known as a preacher of righteousness, calling people to repentance, and his name was Noah. This Baptist church, y'all get shy, don't you? Noah. And we ended last week by seeing God's promise that Jesus, in Matthew 24, tells us that before He returns, the world again will be like the day of Noah. It'll be wicked. And He's going to use man to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understand, He wants to use you and I to make Him known, to call others to faith and repentance. So now God's going to use Noah in a great way, in a way that Noah could never have been ready for. And the cool thing is, God wants to use you and I in ways that we're not ready for, that He wants to prepare us for, though. In ways we would never ask, hey, God, use me this way. And those are the coolest ways to be used. After it's over with, sometimes. See, we've got to come to an understanding that God calling us and using us is not easy. It's not easy. It's going to require faith. You know what faith means? It means you don't know the result. You just trust God to use it. It's going to require commitment. That's being obedient even when it's tough. It's going to require humility, because sometimes you've got to stand alone and do what seems dumb to the world, seems contrary to your flesh. It's going to require you to trust that He will bless in the end. He's going to provide. And so in Genesis chapter 6, God explains to Noah what He wants him to do. Look at Genesis 6. Go down to verse 13. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for Your word. I thank You for each person that chose to be here today, that we can challenge each other, we can encourage each other, and together we can grow in You. Lord, I ask that our hearts are soft, ready for Your Spirit to bring conviction, to bring comfort. If there's someone here that's never called on You for salvation, this can be that day. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we read through here, we're going to skip around and get parts of it because can't read the whole thing. But I challenge you, if you'll go home and read Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, you're going to get a whole lot more details that we can cover in a service. But we know that because of wickedness on the earth, God's going to destroy it. However, the man that God said was righteous received very specific instructions from God. He's told what to do. Now understand, when God calls you to a work, he's going to give you instructions. And he's going to guide you step by step. Now you might not know the next step, but he's going to guide you. Doesn't mean anyone around you understands. It doesn't mean anybody else is going to feel that calling. Doesn't mean anybody else is going to enjoy what you're doing. But in your intimacy with God, you can hear him call and direct you. And God speaks to Noah here and gives him specific instructions. Now understand, he's going to really be specific and give him the dimensions and even the wood type to build this ark, this ginormous boat. You know why God is so specific in your life, in my life, and in his word? In 1 Corinthians 14:33, he says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." God doesn't leave it to you to figure it out. He gives it to you the way he wants it. He hasn't called you after salvation to just do as you wish. He calls you to pick up your cross and follow him. He calls you to live a life of holiness, of purity. And that's our growth in Christ. He's specific what he wants from us, so specific he came to earth and lived a life of 33 years as an example of holiness. And then he says, through his apostle Paul, put on the heart of Christ. That's what you mean by that. Very specific. And so God tells us what he wants by giving us his word, by giving us his spirit, and he's very specific. So here the first thing we see is the ark. The ark. Now, we've seen pictures of the ark. You may have had books of the ark story. Some are some cute little boats with these ginormous animal heads hanging out. Yeah, you've seen those? Those are so annoying. We teach our kids so wrong. Don't teach your kids that this story is like any other comic book story. This is a holy story from a holy God. If you've ever taken a trip to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky, somebody just got back from there, right, Katie? Was it awesome? And the Langfords just went. And if you ever go, the more you want to spend time reading, the more you learn. But there's shows, there's videos. Here's the thing. That thing is so huge that as you walk through, there's displays everywhere. There's room after room after room. There's restaurants, there's stores all inside this place. There's seating places that you can sit on and rest. There's videos you stop and watch. There's plays. The thing is huge. You wouldn't know that you're inside of the Ark. Who all here has been to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky? Good. I'm not lying, am I? Thing's massive. It's huge. It's cool. I challenge you, take your family. Before you do, read through Genesis. And then if you have time, read through Genesis again. And just let it sink in from the Word of God, and then you go and see what they're teaching and put it in picture for you. But that place is massive. But now, we're not going to get into the detail, but verse 14 through 18 give some specific. The ark was not made for beauty, by the way. It was made for stability and for safety. Remember what the ark represents? Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come to fascinate your eye. He came to give you life, to protect you from what you deserve. When the ark was commanded to be built, he told Noah to build it with gopher wood. No one has a clue today what gopher wood is. The only place it's mentioned there. Believe it's some sort of cedar or cypress. Strong, durable wood for what it was going to go through. It's supposed to be covered with pitch, that is tar or resin, to seal the wood. The length of it is 300 cubits. Now, if you have a tape measure that measures cubits at home, good for you. But it's about 18 inches. So 300 cubits, painted a picture for you, is 450 feet long. Now you know how I compare everything. That's a full football field and another half of one. Now, not our football field here in town. We got an 8-man team, so is it 80 yards? Is that right? Ours is only 80-yard fields. But you go to NFL field, and they're 100 yards. Now, I've had the privilege. I got to go play a little on the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, then Cincinnati, the Bengals. Now, those things are huge. And I'm a fat man, so running down the field is not, that's tough anyway. Y'all were thinking it. But that whole field and another half of one, that's a big old boat. It's not some little box that Noah's being told to build. Okay, the width of it is 50 cubits, 75 feet wide. Okay, that same professional football field is only 50 foot wide. This is another full width and a half. It's huge. Its height is 30 cubits. It's 45 feet tall. It has three floors to it. Has a window above it. And it has only one door. One huge, massive door. John MacArthur kind of shares the volume of space that would have been in this ship. Would have been about 1.4 million cubic feet. That's equal to 522 railroad boxcars. And they would carry 125,000 sheep in that many boxcars. Can I just express, it's big. It's not a cute little boat. God said, I got a big project for you, Noah. It was massive. Imagine God looking at you and saying, I want you to build this thing. What's your first thought? It was huge. God calls us to do what we can't do. Oh no, I want God to use my platform and use my talents. No, God wants to use you beyond your talent. Beyond your gifts. He wants you to have to rely on Him to fulfill His plan. Noah would hear how big this sucker is. He'd go, what? I've got three sons. This is big. God wants to use you in ways greater than you can ever ask for. That's why He calls you to live by faith. Because you have to rely on His heart, because you won't understand His ways. He calls you to live a pure life. That's tough to do. That's greater than what I think I can fulfill. But it's the reason I have to trust His ways. He calls us to raise a godly family. In today's society, this is tough. The reason we must trust His ways and His purpose. He calls us to share the gospel of Christ. And we might say it's not that bad. That's a tough thing to do today. It's a reason we've got to know Him intimately. We're supposed to stand for God's ways. And it can be tough. It's a reason we've got to trust Him. And then He tells us to love our neighbor. That's tough, ain't it? It's getting hot in here. That's all I know. Are the fans on? Someone say amen. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I got one. But understand, God is calling him to a huge thing, and he's going to have to rely on God to give him the power and the ability to do these things. But when Noah heard God's command to do the impossible, when he heard God call him to do what no man had seen yet, what they would not be familiar with. Look at verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. How often has God called you to do something, brought conviction on your heart for some area in your life, gave you direction to do something, and you're like, woo, I got to pray about that one some more, Lord. I got to evaluate my options here. I've got to see if I can afford it. I got to see if I... Noah heard this and he said, yes, sir. Was it going to be easy? No. This is a hard task. Was this idea of building the ark crazy? Yes. He didn't build it near water. It was massive. Who's he going to get to carry it out to the water? I'm busy on that day, by the way. You know you are too, aren't you? It's one of those things you're like, he's on his own. It was a crazy idea. What, was it going to be a quick project? No. How long did it take to build this massive ship? A long time. Your specificness. I don't know. Was that a word? Okay. Was good. You'll hear often, oh, it took 120 years to build it. No, not necessarily. The 120 years that's mentioned is the time from God's promise that he was going to destroy man to the time he fulfilled it. So it probably took him about 100 years, but it doesn't give us specifics. However, Noah trusted God. He did the hard work. He was probably mocked by others. Yeah, that's a weird looking house. You're listening to who? I'm sure he was exhausted with this type of work. However, Noah remained faithful. Noah didn't need the approval of his friends. He didn't need the family to say, hey, I got your back. What he needed is God to say, I want you to do this. And Noah said, yes, sir. It's going to be hard. Lord, I need you. The Lord says, that's why I made it hard. Because I want you to rely on me. When you're going through those hard times, remember, God allowed you to be there so you would rely on him. God makes a promise to Noah concerning his family. Look at verse 18. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. So we start seeing the family now. Making an ark was not Noah's great idea. See, if God didn't protect Noah, even a big old boat wasn't going to stop God's wrath. Understand, the power here of protection was not that ark. It was obedience to God. Getting on a boat wasn't Noah's idea. It was God's invitation. And Noah had to get on the way God told him to. Through the one entrance. The one door. The one way to be saved. Look at chapter 7. Verse 1. And the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by the seventh, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. See, because of Noah's righteousness, living by faith, we see that God has called him to a next step, a step of faith. And he starts to be obedient, and we see Noah's faith, not because he started telling people, I'm a man of faith, but because you could see it in his life. He preached righteousness. He lived righteousness. He was obedient to God's call, no matter what anyone else thought. He's probably going to take about 100 years to build this huge ark. His faith was evident. James 2:17 says, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. If you claim to have faith, but you don't have works that go with it, guess what? You don't have faith. I need a whoop-whoop or something. It's quiet in here. That's not a whoop-whoop. It's quiet. But understanding Noah and knowing. Just like the football game, isn't it, Mark? Yeah, all the cheering doesn't happen. Yeah, it's like, geez. You say, score a touchdown, crickets. You see Noah here as we're looking at this man of faith. He doesn't have to declare his faith. He doesn't declare his love for God. We can see it in his life. But God told Moses, because of your faith, get your family in that ark. Because I want to use your family. I've chosen you to do my work. God will use them, this family, to show his covenant, his promise, that he would restore the world and never flood it again. And here's a blessing. God's offering protection from his wrath. God's showing his fellowship and his love and his grace upon his family, using the family for his glory. And understand this, anytime God wants to use you and your family, it's a blessing. To have that intimacy with the Lord is a blessing. He brings the comfort and the joy with it. And a family doesn't go alone. You heard what he took with him. A bunch of animals. In verse 15, it says that don't think Noah and his family were out there trying to catch the animals and diving on top of the lions and here, kitty, 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 you know. Multiple times we see God brought the animals to the ark. God led the animals to where he wanted them. And what he brought two of every kind of animal. Understand, not every animal as you and I know it. But the scripture uses the word kind, meaning their species, their family. Later they would multiply and they would go to different within their species. But two of every species would get on that ark. But you notice what else? Two of every species, but also seven of each clean animal. These are the animals that are later going to be used as sacrifice and worship to God, giving God thanks when God, the family starts to remember the goodness and awesomeness of God. And God had already prepared them for the celebration they're going to want to have later on. And look at in chapter 7, look at verse 16. And they went in, the family is obedient. They went into this ark. It's not raining. They're going to be trapped in that ark for 7 days before it starts raining. But they went in. Went in, male and female, and all flesh. The animals were driven there. And as God had commanded him, and the Lord, what? Closed the door. The Lord shut him in. The Lord closed the door. When God's time arrived and those that followed his invitation were within that ark, notice what happened. God shut the door. Understand this, Noah could not shut the door. He couldn't do it. I got four quick reasons I believe why Noah couldn't shut the door. First off, Noah wasn't strong enough. Besides him being over 600 years old, the door had to be very thick wood inside of a ship. It's going to see a big old storm. And it'd be about 30 foot tall. Some calculated that the door weighed over a ton. That's plain and simple, Noah couldn't shut it. He couldn't raise that thing. The second reason, Noah wouldn't want to close it. Noah was a man. He had emotions. Those that would stay on the outside of the ark may have been friends and family. He knew what God had said he was going to do to mankind. He didn't want to be the one to close it on him. Also, the third reason I see is Noah wasn't worthy. Noah, too, was a sinner. He was cleansed by faith. But understand, this was not Noah's wrath. Whose wrath was it? God's wrath. God was going to purify the earth. And God is judging sin here. It's the reason you and I are told, judge not, lest he judge also. In Matthew chapter 1, we don't make up the rules or guidelines. Now read that whole chapter. Don't stop into one verse and you're going to see he's not telling us don't judge. He's telling us how to judge. We don't make up the rules and the guidelines. We don't decide what's right or wrong. We are to judge according to what the Creator tells us is right. We are to judge according to the Word of God. We are to judge according to the Righteous One. And Noah knew, I'm not worthy to bring judgment on these people. And I got the fourth reason. Noah can't protect his family. See, this protection that they needed must be from God. Only God can protect man from his wrath. Only God can hold back his wrath from man. And there's only one way to enter God's promises, that door. Understand, there's only one salvation. They had to enter that door. According to Hebrews chapter 10, all the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. As God acted out in the Old Testament, everything He taught us in the New Testament. The Old Testament, story after story, is a visualization of what He reveals to us in the New Testament. This ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. One door, one entrance. Salvation is only through Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Salvation is from the result of sin. Why was the rain going to come down upon the earth? Because of the sin of man. And to be saved from your sin, you must come through Christ, who was sent from the Father. The only one that can seal you with salvation. At the time you place faith in Jesus Christ and call on Him for salvation, what happens? He says you are sealed. You are marked as His. He closed that door as His seal of protection. Those inside it are protected. Those who did not come to Him, rejected His offer of salvation, will perish. They're going to receive the wrath of God. So we see here, when all were in the ship, God shut the door and He sealed those who would be saved. And after they were ready, now remember, 7 days sitting inside of an ark with a bunch of animals before, and there's no rain, would you start questioning? He says, but God, maybe that's not what you meant. Maybe you changed your mind. 7 days, a long time. They didn't have good TV shows or cell phone games. They're just sitting and waiting, taking care of the animals. 7 days of waiting, and then we see catastrophe. We're familiar with this portion of the story, but sometimes we're misinformed or confused by some of the details. In chapter 7, go down to verse 17. You're familiar with this part. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased and bare up the ark. And it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the great hills, or all the high hills that were under the whole heaven, were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of the fowl and of the cattle and of the beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping thing and the fowl and the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and them that were with him in the ark. Catastrophe. Darkness. The flood came, according to verse 11, the waters from under the ship, under the earth burst, and the waters of heaven fell onto the earth. It's believed that it never rained before. And this was the first rain, and the waters would have just poured out of heaven. And when they talk about the waters under the earth, it shows a picture of the bursting of water coming up. This was a massive storm. This wasn't a cute little drizzle. This wasn't a hard rain. This was a continued storm for 40 days. The ark floated. The water raised up 15 cubits. That's 22 and a half feet above the highest mountain at that time. Death has taken all who were not protected. All animals that lived on the earth. The birds. All mankind. Only those who enter the ark in obedience. Only those accepted the invitation. Only those that were sealed by the hand of God were protected because of their faith in Him. And now they're in the boat. For how long? Not 40 days. Well, look at verse 24. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. The flood held steady for 150 days, but still not over. Just now the waters are going to start to be held back. In chapter 8, we see that the waters start to recede, and we see Noah sends out birds to test the land. We see them wait a lot longer, and by the end, they exit the ark. You know how long they were inside? 377 days. That kind of kills our 40-day flood stories, doesn't it? 377 days. The family that remained in the ark for that time finally comes out after 377 days. What would you do? Did a hard work building that ark for 100 years. For 377 hard days in the ark that you probably started out by hearing friends and family outside screaming. You're trapped inside, cleaning after animals and feeding animals. You're trying to keep from punching your family. Family reunions, we all got them, right? And we want to hug every one of them like this. No, 377 days, and I bet they enjoyed it with each other, knowing, hey, we could have been outside. Next time you go to a family reunion, you have a hard time. Remind each other, we could have been separated. Could be gone. 377 days and they get off the ark. What would you want to do? Oh, I want to go for a jog, said no Ron ever. I want to go enjoy life. Sometimes we get done with a trial in our life and maybe a little freedom comes and we got, what do I do now? I got through this hard stretch. God provided. God comforted. God gave peace. What do I do now? In chapter 8, go down to verse 18. And go down to Genesis 8, verse 18. It says, and Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kind, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. See, after going through this tragic time, hearing such horrible things, such a catastrophe, the trauma in her life. Now they're in a new world where man's going to live less time. Probably get off the ark. Can you imagine what it looked like? A lot of death, emptiness. It would have to start growing again. It's a new time where there would be more natural disasters, a lot of different weather type issues. In the midst of uncertainty in their life, they took time to recognize and to thank God. They didn't try to figure out their lives. They didn't take time to feel sorry for themselves. I sure miss Susie. She was my best friend. My house is gone. 377 days, that was a long time. No. They're not pursuing what they've missed and what they want to do. They're not trying to find pleasure and make up for lost time. What they do, they get off the ark, and the first act they take is to build an altar and give thanks to God. Got that? It's a time to praise God for His provision, for His power, for His character, for His faithfulness, for His mercy, for His grace, for His love, for His fellowship. They build an altar to recognize God. And what they do, they take those clean animals that they had brought a year and 17 days before, or something, a year and 12 days, something like that, put on the ark, and now they see the purpose for it. We're going to kill this animal. We're going to shed the blood of this animal in representation of the Savior you're going to send us, Jesus Christ. We're going to offer back to you. We're going to give thanks to you because you protected us. You offered salvation to us. You have been there for us. You have remained faithful to us. You and I should always have something to praise God for. You and I should always have something we can praise God for. Someone brings gossip to you, wants you to go, guess what you do? Turn around. Oh, I thank God. You know what He did this week? Oh, I thank God. Did you know I got saved this many years ago? Turn it around and give God praise instead of satisfying your own flesh with gossip. You got negative Nelly come to you. Turn around. You know how much your positivity can change their attitude? Oh, but God is good. Remember what could happen to us? But God has provided. God is going to use this for His glory. See, each of us deserve dying in that flood, don't we? Each of us deserve the wrath of God upon our sins. But God loved us so much, He sent us an ark of safety. He sent us Jesus Christ. That ark that He sent to us calls us to Himself. He says, come unto me all that weary, and I will give you rest. He says, come unto me. He's called us to Himself for safety, to keep us away from the wrath of God that is still to come. And those who refuse His invitation will die and be separated from His glory from all eternity, cast one day in a place He calls the lake of fire. Why? Because He tried to save you and you refused. But those who accept the invitation, those who call on Jesus Christ for salvation, that are saved from His wrath, the ones that His wrath will never touch. Now, His loving correction will, to help us get on the right track. But His wrath will never touch. We should praise Him without stopping. Why? Because He is our blessed Redeemer. He is our God. He has loved us more than we deserve. Amen? Would you stand with me? We're going to close today. A song we're familiar with. Praise Him, praise Him. As Brooke makes this run that she gets to do every week, like, talk for a longer run. But as we sing this, don't just sing it because it's a song we're familiar with. Take a second and think of what I'm praising Him for. Who is He to me? What has He done for me? Oh, yeah, He is worthy of praise. Let's sing together. Thank you. Is he working?